Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm AD Packham and we have rediscovered that winning feeling in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, what a difference a week makes. Our late turnaround against West Ham and Carlos Baleba's slow-motion howitzer left Graham Potter feeling sad and maybe, just maybe, reignited our quest for European football next season. To achieve that, we're probably going to have to win our remaining games, starting with a visit of League Cup winners Newcastle on Sunday, and of course, including the visit of newly crowned champions Liverpool. Joining me today as we cast an eye all over that, and is of course Alan Wares, we have an Andy Bass, and we're delighted to welcome back a man who is no stranger to a radio studio but has not graced the Reverb airways in what it feels like forever. It's the wonderful Jim Frank. Hello, Jim.
Great to be here. How are you all?
It's great. I mean, I haven't seen you in a studio for a very long time. Normally, we see you on a concourse with a beer in your hand, and
a furrowed brow.
Well, but I think we all have furrowed brows on the concourse. Season,
but there are a couple of nice beers after Saturday's
last-minute
wonder.
Isn't it amazing when the sun starts shining and we get a last-minute winner? The beer, I'm sure, someone somewhere there's like a beer fairy that actually just waves the wand and all the beer tastes so much better. Is it me?
It was a great moment, wasn't it? You know, and as AD said there, I mean, Albion's European hopes were on sort of life support before that game. And, you know, with what, 3 minutes to go, it looked like that machine was going to be turned off. And Matoma equalised. And then it was one of the most extraordinary goals, one of the most extraordinary moments that the Amex has seen for a long time. And I didn't think he was going to shoot.
I even said
to myself, don't shoot, you know. But what a goal it was.
It was. Okay, well, we're coming to the West Ham game very, very shortly. And, of course, the fact that Graham Potter was very sad afterwards. Very sad indeed. But firstly, congratulations to Liverpool. It's not a surprise. It's been on the cards for quite some time, Andy. But, a big club wins trophy is not really a massive surprise, but it's always good when the Albion will probably benefit.
Yeah, well, it's good news for us because we'll get some extra cash. Don't know how much from the Alexis McAllister deal. So it's just a shame they couldn't go on to win the Champions League and we'd pick up all the bonus money. But, yeah, definitely. And Alexis had a great game on Sunday as well. He scored a cracking goal and I think he played a part in some of the other many goals they scored. So, yeah, very pleased for Alexis. Liverpool were the best team this year by a country mile. So fair play to them. They deserve the win.
Jim, I mean, it's really lovely to see. I mean, everyone who listens to this show regularly knows I still very much love Alexis. And it's nice to see that love is shared around the world, really. I mean, it's not just in Sussex and in Merseyside and Argentina. It's everywhere.
Well, he's a class act, isn't he, Mac? I mean, the way that he left the Albion was an example to all players, really, in his professional way, but also as a human being. And we all wished him well when he left. And, you know, he's just becoming a really world-class player. So I'm really pleased for him. And as Andy said, what a goal that was on Sunday to set them on their way.
Yeah. Now, Jim, we're going to come and talk about the West Ham game very, very shortly, but it's been such a long time since you've been on. We didn't have a Raw Virgin then, so you are a Raw Virgin, frankly.
Again.
I know this delights
you. Rediscovered his virginity.
For those who don't know who you are, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you come from?
Well, I'm a Sussex man originally. My first Albion game was way back in the early 70s. I went to all four grounds, the Goldstone, Priestfield with Dean and, of course, at the Amex. So it's been a long road. And for my day job, I work for the BBC and I make radio programs and podcasts and documentaries for Radio 4 and the World Service.
The World Service. So get with your World Service hat on. And obviously, well, certainly we've noticed in our humble little radio show and podcast how much more scope there is, how much more of an audience there is worldwide now that we're a Premier League side. Now, with your BBC slash World Service hat on, have you had a chance to sort of, I suppose, sort of dip your toe in every single pond at the same time by saying, my team's Brighton, here they are on the World Service, this is how I can, has it affected, you know, sort of your support of the Albion through your work at all?
I can't say it has greatly because I work mainly in sort of current affairs content. But you know, the Albion, we all know now that the Albion has a huge global reach in a way that none of us would have thought possible a decade ago. And you go anywhere in the world, you see people with Albion tops on, which is a testament to how far the club has come.
Yeah, so with your like I say your time at the BBC, you say you're on Radio 4 and on the World Service. Give us a flavour of what it is you who any what are the shows that we know you've got your dab hand in?
Well, I produce a series of lectures called the Reith Lectures, which is an annual series of talks which we take around the country and sometimes overseas, where we invite I suppose, a thinker, a public thinker, to talk about a particular subject. Last year, we did a psychiatrist about the role of violence in society and what we might do to treat that more. A bit more seriously. I'm doing a podcast at the moment about a man whose family lost a fortune in the Second World War, and he's trying to find out A, what happened to his family, and B, whether or not he can get some assets back from that time, which is a fascinating journey into history, but also really it's a story about family and what families tell each other and what they don't tell each other.
Although it does sound very much like Indiana Jones.
I was thinking more I, Jack Wright.
But okay, just before we move on then, Jim, obviously, I mean, if you gun to a head, if you had to pick a favourite player over your years of watching the Albion, who would it be and why?
It'd have to be Peter Ward. You know, Peter Ward was
Because he was first.
the striker that I sort of grew up with, and you know, he scored so many goals for us. He was just incredibly exciting as a young boy watching the Albion. And actually, you know, watched on North Stand Chat, someone had posted a whole range of old Albion videos, I think last week, and Ward featured very heavily in that. And he was absolutely brilliant. You know, you might think that, you know, 30, 40 years ago and all the players we have now, that he wouldn't have looked so good, but he was fantastic. So it'd have to be Peter Ward. Not very original, but there we go.
But I mean, this is the conversation that we don't really have very often because we don't really delve that far back so much these days as we used to. But it's when you're looking at football through the current lens that we do now, where every game is televised, you get to see every goal. That's not just in the Premier League, but across the entire EFL down to the National League South, and even below, even lower, you can get to see pretty much every single goal. And yet, you know, I mean, we have this thing which we talk about on this show, like on a regular basis, like Gary Nelson's goal at Brentford, which apparently 50 million people have actually seen, but there was only actually about 1,500 Albion fans in the stadium that day.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point would be is in that case, Jim. I mean, let's put a gun to your head as AD. He said he didn't want to do it, but I'm going to. Do you think Wardy would how well? Let's put it this way: how well do you think Wardy would have done in today's football?
I think he would have held his own in the Premier League. I
Yeah.
mean, he was really fast. He was really skillful. He had an eye for goal. He used to shoot virtually on sight. I think he would have. I think he would have done well. I
I'd
mean, it's
also
really, a
say,
really difficult question to answer,
of
but
course, the pitch is better as
my
well, Tom.
hunch is that he would have held his own.
And
the other
also
great
say,
standout player is Mark Lawrenson, of course,
of
from that
course.
era, you know.
So, speaking of which, of players missing, we have one of those on Saturday. Concussion protocols meant that Jean-Paul Van Hecke had to sit it out. So Carlos Belaba dropped back into the defence. Yassin Ayari returns. Mats Fifa continued at right back, and Andy Bass. It was the first start of the season for Solly March.
Well, yeah, I don't think any of us were expecting to see, least of all Solly himself, see him return, especially in such a key game. Just absolutely brilliant. And there's quite an interesting remark from Solly. He said after the game, said it was probably a bit easier starting the match than coming into it like an hour in, because all the players kind of start at the same energy levels, whereas he doesn't have to get up to speed with people that are already like moving quickly. But it was great to see him back. A real boon for everyone. And I thought he acquitted himself very well indeed, as he normally does.
Yeah, Jim. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful to see Solly back in the team. And I think there was a few of us in the stands that probably thought we might not see him ever start a game again at one point when he's been out for like over a year.
You happy little ray of sunshine, you.
Well, like, no, I'm absolutely delighted that he's back. And in this current team, you're not going to get in if you're going to be not up to scratch. Although I can think of a few that have played this season, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, Andy's right. I mean, it was a real surprise because after the Brentford game, I think Johnny Canter asked him, how close he was to starting. And he was like, oh, I'm not sure about that at all. And then, 7 days later, he starts. I mean, he's so good on the ball, and his delivery is so pinpoint and so accurate. And we've really, really missed him and his versatility. So it was great to see him back. He got what, an hour,
Something like that,
65 minutes did he play? Something like that, and he should play another part on Sunday.
Well, this is the point about it. 65 minutes shows that they're sort of breaking them in bit by bit by bit, because on previously he's had 15, 20, 25 minutes. I'd be astonished, as much as Fabian Hertzler wants him as a 90-minute player, I don't think he's ready for that. But one thing that came across is it's when you've had an injury like that and you've been out for as long as that, what you're not going to do is try and hit the afterburn or whatever afterburners you've got left. You're not going to do that because, the way that he landed on his knee in that match against Manchester City, he's going to be terrified to use it. There is that old adage that you lose half a yard of pace or whatever it might be. Famously, Gary Hart lost that when he broke his leg, came back, wasn't quite as, and had to play almost sort of like a variety of roles, using his experience. But one thing that clearly shone when you see the rest of the wingers that we've got at our club is his decision making. He'd get into a situation, and it's not about, oh, get the ball in early or everything like that. He'll know largely what to do. And that's what I think, where sometimes Solly March is the is a kind of a not a cautionary tale, but a sort of like a tale to say it takes a while for. I mean, you can have all the skill and the pace and the tricks in the world, but it's always about the right decision at the right time. And Solly March, for the most part, had that. I mean, there was a couple of times he boo-booed, but then so did everyone. He, as a general rule, knows about what to do and when. And this is the sort of thing that the likes of other wingers, and let's name names here, Simon Adingra had a terrible first half. The contrast between the two was enormous. And this is where, oh no, we'll discuss contracts later. This is where why I think that Solly March will end his career here in his mid-30s.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Adingra a little bit. I just think it's confidence now with him. He hasn't become a bad player overnight. And actually, he scored 3 goals recently, all of which have got disallowed for being marginally offside. And that there was another one in this game as well, where It was Purvis, wasn't he? Had a shot that that was saved, and Vifa was adjudged to be offside on the follow up before Simon put it away. But it was, and it was. I just seen it again just now, actually, and it was very, very marginal. But offside is
Was
offside,
it
I suppose, really.
offside enough to be offside?
Well, in my view,
Pretty
no.
not.
It was a definite goal, and the referees are wrong-un. But
Worse than that, it was three goals. It wasn't a goal, it was three
he's
goals.
a cad and a bounder, I tell you, that ref.
But
He's
having
a...
said that, I'm not going to have a downer on Adingra on account of the fact that actually when he came out in the second half, clearly someone had said something to him because, I mean, he did come off after sort of what, 10 minutes of the second half, but he did more in the first 5 minutes of the second half than he did in the entire first half and looked really good. So it could be a confidence thing, or it could be just a case of someone needing to give him a kick up the backside.
Yeah. Now, Andy, West Ham haven't been very good this season, really, and their position in the league confirms that. But they were in the game, and you were actually quite impressed by Wan Bissaka.
Well, I thought Wan-Bissaka played pretty well. But I was more impressed with Kudus. I just thought that's just a lazy player because he'll just do something that's really, really good and spend the next 15 minutes just wandering around thinking, oh, can I be bothered to do something? And like when he was bothered to do something, he caused us a lot of trouble. And I was quite grateful for his moodiness. And I'm sure his mercenary instincts will pay off in the summer as
Yeah,
West
okay.
Ham offload him to a team in Saudi Arabia, which will give him a
Yeah,
lot of
so
money for
Andy,
him.
with that in mind, then, because obviously it was very, very touch and go about. I mean, he pretty much was it. He was in the stadium. He was almost holding up the shirt, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a mercurial player, just a weird player. He's
Was
just
it a lucky
really.
escape, do you think?
I don't think he'd have fitted in at Brighton. I think in the end we kind of dodged a bullet. I mean, we missed out on a good player, but he's not a Brighton player.
He probably
Hypothetical,
would have
hang on,
done
that could.
one season, and then, someone would have come in for him, or an agent might have got a move going for him.
Hypothetical question in that case, then. I mean, you say you wouldn't have done here. If large if, he had moved here, would his attitude have been different compared to where it is at times the basket case that West Ham has been? I mean, it's a hypothetical question. I don't think anyone can ever answer it. But
No.
as much as you say a bullet dodged, maybe, clearly the way he's behaved at West Ham at times, definitely. But would he have had a different attitude if he'd have been here? Well, let's put it this way, we'll never know.
Well, we'll never know, but I think the way that the negotiations went seemed to give a pretty clear indication that it wouldn't be an entirely harmonious relationship. So no, I don't think he was really prepared to. I don't think he really wanted to come here.
Fair enough.
And
And London's quite an allure, isn't it?
yeah, I to be honest, I think that's it. I mean, he's heard of London and he's not heard of Brighton, so.
I have heard of Brighton. Another player who's heard of Brighton is a player who's been trying to do this all season, and not he's come so close. He's hit the bar, hit the post, had worldy saves, but finally, Yassine Ayari put one where the spiders live, Jim.
Yeah, it was a fantastic strike, and as you say, he's been pretty close, and he's been pretty far off as well
That's
during the
true.
season, to be honest.
Yes.
But what he's been like a sort of bonus for us this year, hasn't he?
What do you mean?
He's come in, he's done really, really well. He rarely lasts the whole game, but he's young, he's learning, and Hertzler obviously really fancies him, so he could be a big player for us.
I mean, we were saying on the show last week, though, Andy, that next year we're going to have Malik Yaoundé coming in, who's been absolutely sensational on loan at Stirling Grants, winning the league over there, doing magnificently in the Champions League, and he's come over. He's a player that is rated very, very highly across the world, and he's likely to be in Yassin's position next season.
Well, I mean, it's a position that we seem to like recruiting players in. It seems
What,
to
you
be
mean
the way.
he's a
It seems
winger?
to, It seems to be the one that the algorithm thinks, centre half, centre half. Oh, I'm not sure about a centre half. How about another exciting midfielder, stroke winger? How about one of those? I've got plenty of them. But, as we've seen, a team with our injury records can never have too many people in any one position. And it's a key position. I think Jim's right. I mean, IR is a bonus. I mean, everyone, the talk was like, where were we going to loan him out? And then, in the off season, and then he just plays his way into the team on the tour of Japan and like the pre-season
Hadn't he been
games
on
and
loan already previously?
yeah, he was at Coventry and Blackburn last season.
Coventry and Blackburn and
Yeah.
did very well at Blackburn. I saw a couple of his games for Blackburn and he always looked pretty good. So I'm absolutely delighted for him. He's a really hard worker, although I will, when we come to talk about the second goal in the game,
Yes.
I might be less praiseworthy of his work ethic, but because of an absolute lapse in it
Okay, well
for the West
let's
Ham
do that.
equaliser.
Let's do
But
that
he
now.
does
It
work
was.
really hard. He's energetic. He gets his foot in. For me, he reminds me of like a slightly, as I think I said to you at the game out AD, I said he's like Buonanotte without the shot, and then he scored straight after that.
You see, you've got that magic touch.
He is for
You
me.
used to goat mouth your way around these things, but now you're just coming straight out with the facts.
See, for me, he is the epitome of transition. We've bought a whole load of players, especially I know he arrived before the £200 million window that everyone seems to be going on about, as if that actually genuinely means anything. But we're talking last summer. We bought a load of players, not necessarily to slot in and be brilliant, although, some of them have. We're looking at next season, which possibly we were looking at being in Europe and we still might be, but Ayari is one of those who, like I say, just about almost every single player we get in, and certainly the young ones, they're slow burners. Hardly anyone comes in and goes whack straight away. And Ayari, I think, is the very epitome of that. If he can keep his place, or certainly he'll stay in the squad next year, if he can keep his place, I can only see him getting better. Let's put it this way, I can't see him getting, he's not going to get worse because that's not how we work. But I think that we've actually got a very exciting prospect there. But for his shooting, but for one piece of shooting.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give him absolutely massive credit for the goal. And we've seen Brighton
Was
score goals
brilliant.
from that position against West Ham before, haven't we? It's like your square goal was almost exactly the same spot, I think.
Did think of that.
But it was Well, West Ham gave him the freedom of the Amex to pick his spot, frankly, and
What,
Paqueta should have got close
are
to it.
you actually going to sort of like use that as a stick to beat West Ham with? Because you're just about to go on to West Ham's first goal, aren't you?
Well, let's get on to West Ham's first goal then, and Bowen was given the freedom of the
Lonely.
Amex.
It was the littlest hobo. There was no one around him. And as much as I know, I said to you after the game, AD, that I really had a downer on some of this Stupinian's work. Flying into to challenges only to see Wan-Bissaka just turn him on a sixpence. So your point earlier, you're saying about Wan-Bissaka being really good. Well, one, he was really good, and two, I think he had his Stupinian on toast. But in this instance, I'm going to go refer back to my good friend Andy Bass and let him wax lyrical about Ayari and Belieber and others who didn't cover themselves in glory.
Yeah, there was a lot of players that will not be looking at that goal and feeling awfully good about
I
themselves.
can
But
count
it,
five of them, actually.
but it, but it did. But it, yeah, but he did start with Ayari. He
Oh,
just
at six then.
he doesn't he doesn't he just doesn't pick Bowen up. So when Bowen makes the run to the goal line, he's completely missed him. So he's not gone. But then once Bowen's got the ball and he's on the byline. He's just trotting back into the box when really he should have been running a bit harder. And we have been rightly praising him. And to be honest, the rest of his IRA's performance was superb. But this was a real sort of black mark against him in this particular game because he's not paying attention when Bowen runs past him. And Bowen's like, you've got to keep an eye on him. He's a really, really good player, and he causes so much damage to defenses up and down the league, regardless of how wet poor West Ham have been this season. he's still a very, very good player, and you can't, you can't take your eye off him, or he'll do that. And I thought, okay, I'll forgive him that, but like the not really getting back into the box once Bowen had moved in there, I thought was pretty poor.
Yeah.
And then of course the ball gets kicked across, and then
Four.
we've got and then we've got, I think it's Hinshelwood, Dunk and Wefa all looking at the ball and waving it on its merry
Wefa just
way.
waves his leg at it, doesn't
And
he?
then the shot goes right through Bart's
Bart's
legs.
legs.
I mean,
Yeah.
it really was
Awful.
calamitous. And like,
It was a bit Sunday
come
league, wasn't
on,
it?
Brighton. It's like, it's I just need to draw up the table. It's like we are like one of the, believe it or not, we're one of the top scorers in the league this year. We've scored 56 goals, and like if you take Liverpool out of the equation with our 80, we're only 7 goals behind Arsenal, 9 behind Newcastle, and 10 behind Man City, and then we're pretty much ahead of everybody else. Scoring goals has not been a problem this year. Unfortunately, next to that number in the against column is 55. And sadly, there's been too many goals of that poor quality that we've let in. There's a mitigating circumstance for that. I can't remember the last time we played a game with four actual first choice first team defenders in the back four. We've got midfielders filling in here and there. We've got
Yeah.
two midfielders in the back four this Saturday, for various reasons. So it's a mitigating circumstance, but really, if we're looking forward to next year, that's got to be sorted out. That's a
100%.
big
100%. We've got to
problem.
strengthen in the summer in defence.
But there's only so many centre backs you can have. I mean, we've got four on the books, four sort of, seniors on the books. I mean, what do you have? Five, six, seven,
Well, I think you can buy a right back. Lamptey, I mean, we're getting onto the contracts thing already. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but Lamptey is out of contract, and unfortunately, I'm a big fan of his, cannot be relied upon to stay fit. And Joel Veltman is another huge fan of his, but again, he has a lot of injury records. So I think they need to buy a new right back for starters. Estepinian has been, I think, not nowhere near at the levels that he was. I don't know what's going on there, but he's virtually had a free rein because Cadioglu has been injured for most of the season. And that's assuming that they might want to play him at left back. He's a utility player, as we all know. And then, of course, we've had terrible issues with injuries in the centre back position. But
With that in mind,
I
Jim,
think they might need to buy another centre half who can play on the left hand side with some pace.
okay. I'm going back to Purvis there, Jim. I mean, do you think he's a player that thrives on competition then? Do you think he's just like things have got an easy ride and I don't have to put?
I
I mean,
think
it's been hot and cold.
all players thrive on competition. I think if there's somebody else gunning for your place, that's going to give you a little bit more motivation. And he's been inconsistent, hasn't he, for a few weeks now, and there have been gaps on that left-hand side. There were at Brentford, and there were again on Saturday. Wan-Bissaka nearly had a great chance in the second half, which Bart got down well to save, but there was oceans of room there. So he has been out. I don't like criticizing individual players, but he's not on form. And players have hot and cold spells, as we know.
Al, I think we were saying this last week, actually, weren't we? That for a player that's like relies so much on his pace, he seems to be a little bit off it at the moment.
I think he also needs the help alongside, up and down the wing. There seems to be, I mean, we've had it before where certainly going forward, Estupiñán and Mitoma, when they're on song going forwards, they're unstoppable. And Mitoma has actually now learnt his defensive duties and does get back very well. the thing I would say here is that Adingra in the first half really didn't. He left Estupiñán quite exposed quite a lot of the time. That's why it looked like, you know, I was going to blame one of them. I mean, admittedly, Adingra was further up the pitch when Bowen, you know, sort of had his lonely moment before setting up for the first goal. So it's all important as to them playing as partnerships, as pairings. Because, I mean, you know, Estupiñán could then win a worldie of a tackle, look up, and then realize there's no one to pass to because the fella in front of him or his nearest midfield player is either AWOL or hasn't got out of the area, whatever it might be. You have that sort of 6 second transition. So it's not all about that individual player. Sometimes a player can be made to look bad because their colleagues around them aren't working as well as they could be. But there are times when Estupiñán, and this is what I'll talk about with Solly March, and his decision-making was almost, you know, universally really good. Or at times, Estupiñán's decision-making, at times, I'm going to be fair and say left something to be desired.
I think that's fair enough. But I mean, I think we've been lacking like pace in defence all season. I mean, with the fact that we
Well, who's
tried
our
to play
fastest
this.
defender?
Well, at the moment, Van Hecke, or well, Tarik Lamptey is when he's on the pitch, but it's like he's not on the pitch often enough. You know, and when we're trying to play this ridiculous high line, and there's still elements of that sneaking in. We still nearly got done by simple balls over the top on Saturday. You know, I just think that there is, we just need a fast defender. We just need, well, more than one.
Well,
Yes.
Basically, we need defenders that can actually play,
And then with
and
that
not
in
sit and
mind.
not sit and not sit in the treatment room. I mean, basically, just four defenders that will just turn up every week would be nice.
Okay.
Sorry, I've got to say this in that case. I've got to answer Andy's point. With that in mind, it was really good to see the renaissance of Lewis Dunk because.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Sorry. But this is my point is that against Brentford, he looked like a debutant. He looked a bit slow, a bit off the pace. So as much as people have always criticised Adam Webster and saying, oh, he needs a few games to get back into it, so does Lewis Dunk, even if he's 500 games into his career. And yet on Saturday, I thought he was back to somewhere near his best. And I think even Hertzler sort of pointed that out. It wasn't just he was more effective as a leader because I think that he himself was having a good game.
Agree.
Okay. I agree with that as well.
Okay, well let's move it on from there then. Obviously, we all know that West Ham took the league. It was another soft goal. That was on 83 minutes. West Ham thought they'd won it, but they hadn't, Andy.
Are we going to talk about the West Ham goal first?
Yeah, I think you're kind of glossing over. It was a brilliant cross on reflection.
Oh, superb.
There's no defending that, quite frankly.
It was Bowen again, wasn't it?
Yeah, just
I
like,
have,
you know. Told
I
you.
Have people next to me criticising Verbruggen for not coming out to it. No, that is an impossible cross to come and get.
It was just an absolute peach of a cross. It was very annoying. So, you know, their first goal was terrible, but the second goal, actually.
Yeah. I'd still like our defenders to be on their toes a little bit more for it. It was too easy for Suchek to break the line and get on the end of it.
It curled the other way.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, from all of the defenders, it was a superb, dangerous ball in.
Yeah, never happened on Shane Duffy's day, I'll tell you. They go 2-1 up, Andy, and we did see to start. There was 83 minutes. Everything just felt. The whole place was just deflated, wasn't it? It was just so flat, and people started making for the exits, and then Mitoma happened.
Well, I think the substitutions all came into full effect because it was three substitutes combining.
Indeed.
For the goal and just couldn't believe it. I mean we just get up the other end and then just like a lovely dinky cross to Gruder and Mitoma just springs up at the near post.
West Ham's defence going AWOL helped.
I think West Ham fans will be criticising their defence very a lot for that goal. But it was nice. It was creative from us. it, Misima getting into the, getting into that position, it's clearly been a talking point, having read Brian Owen's nice work in the Argus this week. It's clearly been a point of emphasis for him, and it paid off because it an absolute tap in of a header from 6 inches out, but beautifully set up by Gruder with a nice little cushioned header across. And for me, like the story of the last 5 or 6 minutes, the last 6 7 minutes of that game was another example of this team not giving up on itself. Another example of this team still believing that they can get something out of the game, be it a draw or a win. And we've seen it time and time again this season. And I think it speaks a lot to the character of the players and the spirit that they have. Because not like, I mean, me and you were just like, we weren't throwing our toys out the pram, but we were just like resignedly talking about like the end of the season and like feeling a little bit flat and just sort of thinking, oh, well, that's
There's
really
nothing like the Albion to
disappointing.
mess with your mind, is there?
It's like, yeah,
It
that's really
was.
disappointing. And then we score, and the first thing I looked at was like, there's still 5 minutes to go. You put the added time on, there's still 5 minutes to go. We can win this. And that that's what the players were thinking. Misima heads the ball in, just turns around and runs straight back up. Not didn't look back once, not a celebrate, just
A
let's go win it.
classic goal down retriever.
Goal down retriever, as they say in North
Fantastic. Yeah, it
Stanchard.
was good to see.
Jim, do
But
you think that West Ham just basically folded here?
I think they were so surprised with that Mitoma equaliser. And then, I mean, incidentally, yes, it was an easy header, but I looked at the replays, the keeper nearly takes his head off and just withdraws his foot at the last minute. So actually, it was a brave header as well. But I think, the whole ground then went up, and we all realised that yes, there was time enough to come back and win it. And West Ham looked, they didn't know what to do, did they? They were completely shell-shocked. I don't think they hardly had a kick after we got the equaliser. But no one could have expected what was about to happen.
I described it in the intro as a slow motion howitzer, which is kind of like, I mean, it just, I don't think it's gone in yet. It
I'm
just, it was
going to
just.
use the verb stroke as they use in football. I mean, it's not with aplomb. He stroked it because if he'd have smashed it, it would have be still be going down towards Falmer Station.
It's just
The
the fact,
amount
I
of
mean, the
time
just
he
the,
had was extraordinary, wasn't it?
yeah, and the fact that the keeper didn't move, it just, when you're talking about like a, your perennial goal of the season contenders and stuff, having a goalkeeper diving like and just trying to get it, just evading his fingertips to go in the top corner,
Like Ayari's
that
goal,
didn't
for
happen.
instance. Like Ayari's goal, for instance. It looks better because the keeper was flying towards it.
It was just. I
I
don't know
think
what it was.
he was onside from the shot itself. I think he was onsighted, and so by the time it gets past, I remember someone saying this, and I can't remember it was a professional goalkeeper that once it, I think it was a free kick that once it beats the wall, unless it's going straight at the keeper has no chance whatsoever. And I think this is similar here. As soon as it beat those first rank of defenders, unless it's straight at him, he's got no chance.
That's basically what Joe Hart was saying on Match of the Day.
But I mean, it was nice. I mean,
But
it
for
was nice. There
me,
was.
I've got to describe this because I think, I suspect those who didn't bother their backsides to leave on 85 minutes felt the same. And let's ask you about this, Jim. It's that pregnant pause. You can see the shot coming in. You know full well that if a shot comes in from him, it's a bit like Scalac's one. You see him winding up for it, and you know full well it's going into Rose Ed. You see him winding up for it, and there's that sharp intake of breath. It's probably about a second. It feels like 3 months. And then you see the net ripple, and then we're talking hyperlimbs. It's pretty bloody good, that, isn't it?
It was an incredible moment. I think Hertzler said, I think who was it who said that they'd been working on how to score late goals? I think it might have been Dunk. And Dunk had said to Belieber, don't shoot.
You could see
And
him
Belieber
pointing, actually. You
thankfully
could see him
ignored
pointing.
him. Thankfully he ignored him. It was the curl, wasn't it? As soon as he hit it, I thought, that's going to be halfway in the north stand.
Yeah.
So when it hit the net, it was just an ex there was there was like a moment of disbelief
That's
almost, wasn't
exactly the
there?
word I was going to use.
You know,
Disbelief
there
is
was a moment of
exactly it.
disbelief before the hammock exploded in a wonderful moment of joy.
I don't necessarily. Well, obviously, it was a moment of joy because we just won the game. But normally, the last minute limbs, it's not like it's so like associated with so much laughter at the same time. Because
It's
that's exactly what we were doing. We
as
were
a
laughing our heads
moment,
off.
as a moment. Obviously, we've now there's three home wins that spring to mind of the in the injury time. Obviously, Man U, was it Fulham
Fulham.
with the last minute penalty?
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously this one. I think with this one, it was because I think that we felt we probably more deserved to win rather than thinking, okay, we'll settle for the draw. But the other thing about it is that I'm going to put this nearly, but not quite up there with Pedro's winner against Marseille for sheer limbs and excitement and a little bit of relief as well. It was that good. So when we're talking our Amex moments, I think this has already been slotted into
Yeah,
probably a
maybe.
top 10 over the years.
Well, I was just very pleased when, obviously, I mean, you've probably all seen the interview with Graham Potter afterwards, where he was very, very sad indeed. And like, do you want me to swear? Do you want me to swear? I don't want to take
Yes,
any
please.
positives.
Yes, please.
But at least they had the foresight to like describe two of the goals in metric. Like, rather than calling it 35 yards, it was 35 meters, which was great. Which is
That's what happens to working in Sweden for so long.
well, yeah, I know, but it's not really meters. It just feels wrong in football
No,
parlance,
it's not.
doesn't it? Anyway, right, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. And this show is brought to you in association with the wonderful Flowers Unlimited. Al, where can you get your flowers from?
You can get them for anywhere. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing, which is not what we could say about some of Adingra's work on in the first half. You can also alternatively go to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove, where David Costa and his team of happy florists will serve you anything of your floral needs. Anything happy, anything sad. Maybe we should send some lilies to Graham Potter. I don't know. But if you pop along there and let them know that you're an Albion season ticket holder, you will automatically get a 20% discount. Not 20% fewer flowers. You'll get a lot more. You get your bill is a lot lower. So and they'll also do you chocolates and champagne and other things that just make you say, "Hi, it's me. I'm sorry I broke your windows." So do pop along to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove, to Flowers Unlimited and tell them that we sent you.
Yeah, and we did. And the man from Milk Tray, we sent him as well.
Milk tray. I want Thornton's at the very least, preferably Swiss or Belgian, though.
Okay, so that victory, Jim, it left us on 51 points, which is three more points than we finished the entire season with the last season. We finished on 48. Can we still make Europe?
Yeah, I think we can, but we're going to have to go some, aren't we?
Well,
But
there's 12 points left to play for.
who have we got? We've got Newcastle, Wolves, Liverpool, and Tottenham. Newcastle, for me, looks like the hardest game because they'll be gunning for the Champions League. So that's going to be a very tough game indeed. Wolves, you know, traditionally we've done very well at Molineux over the last few seasons, but they're on a bit of a roll. But, you know, they haven't got a great deal to play for. Liverpool, we've discussed them. They're the champions. Let's hope that they're going to try some of their young players. And then, you know, I would be confident of beating Spurs. So, I mean, knowing the Albion, you know, the Albion like doing it the hard way, don't they? I mean, I think, yeah, it's there's a chance. There's a chance. I think what's a little bit frustrating about the position we're in now is that had we beaten Leicester, had we beaten, you know, Wolves earlier in the season, had we taken more points against those lower ranked teams, Europe now would be odds on, wouldn't it? Rather
The
than,
Champions League, even.
you know, rather than in the position
Yeah,
we're
but if
at
my granny
now.
had balls, et cetera, Jim.
Well,
Yes.
it's a little bit frustrating though, Al. You know,
Yes. But for all the points we've left out on the pitch, we've also gained a few in injury time as well. Do we? Has anyone done the kind of the maths on that? That, you know, the points we've lost versus the points we've gained in the last minutes. I don't know.
I think we've got the points total that we've deserved. I mean, Jim's right. It's frustrating that we dropped those points, but it was kind of our fault that we dropped them. So we've only got ourselves to blame for it. So you've got to just, play the hand. We've got to play the hand we've dealt ourselves. But these, to be honest, when the seven unbeaten run team, I think would fancy winning all four of these games. The team that's playing now, probably not expecting to win all four of these games, but at least we got that, I think we just needed that confidence boost of getting that win, still in it. We take it to next week, and that's all you can do at this stage of the season. Keep the season alive. There's still something to play for, and it's exciting. I love
We've
it.
also Andy, we've also got the confidence though. I mean, we had Veltman and Lamptey were back on the bench on Saturday. Kalioglu is very, very close. Igor's very, very close. They could still all of the injured players could still like have an impact on the rest of the season.
But are they ready?
Yeah, that's the question. I would say that Veltman's probably the readiest of them from a game day standpoint, but the rest would be kind of more luxury picks, and we just don't have the chance for opportunity for luxury at the
I'd have been
moment.
of the opinion that they probably would be more likely to play at the end of the season if we'd have lost against West Ham, it's then having completely scuppered our European chances. Do you see my point?
Yeah, maybe, but then we might have seen Slater get a game as well. So, but
Well,
we've really missed Veltman,
Witarska,
haven't
sorry,
we?
yeah.
Witarska, yeah.
Veltman's been a huge miss, one of our more experienced players, and I
Yes.
think one of the reasons why we've let points drop against Leicester and against Wolves and a few other teams from winning positions is we haven't had the know-how or the experience on the pitch at the time. And again, we've really missed Lallana like that. Pascal Gross, Milner's been injured the whole season. Hopefully that's something that won't happen again next year.
Well, Chelsea are currently in the last Champions League spot in fifth. They've got 60 points. We're currently on 51. Our record in this division was 62 when we finished sixth. 12 points left to play for. Chelsea, they've got Liverpool at the weekend, depending on how Liverpool have been celebrating this week. And a lot of the other teams have still got to play each other. So, it's still. Teams will be dropping points. It's still on. And, the last European place could go down to eighth. So
Yeah, I think you'd have to go headhunting at NASA to try and work out the mathematical probabilities of who's going to finish where at the moment. So, and that's only with four games to go.
Okay, well, just before we finish, we wanted to have a quick chat about the contract situation as it stands. Actually, not too many players with contracts expiring at the end of this season. Tarik Lamptey is one, James Milner and Tom McGill. I suspect they won't get new contracts.
Why?
Well, we were talking about Tarik earlier, and I would really love Tarik to stay, but I think with his injury record and his lack of minutes on the pitch, it might be time for him to try past his new.
I would be of the opinion that, bearing in mind, if we've got, well, we had two right backs on the bench against West Ham, I don't think that the club will sell until they've bought.
No, well, that's what will happen in the summer, and they would have been
Well,
earmarked already.
assuming we can land a right back. I mean, Jim, of those three, can you see all three being here next season, or one, or any array of those?
I don't know enough about the McGill situation, but I'd be very surprised if Tarek's still here. I'm a big fan, but I think, I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. That we should be very clear about that.
Yes, absolutely.
But, his injury record, unfortunately, it makes him not the most reliable of, right backs. James Milner, I think we've missed him hugely, actually. I
I
thought he
agree.
started the season really well. Is he going to be fit again?
Yeah.
I
He
just don't
almost is
know.
now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him, and then they'll take a view. I mean, the club will know much better. But you've got to have players who are going to be able to play.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you were talking about those points we left out on the pitch, particularly the ones against Leicester, both games
Yeah.
actually, and the Wolves game. I think if we had James Milner on the pitch and in any of those games, we would have won those games.
They just need someone with some vocal leadership on that pitch. Dunk is a fantastic captain in many ways, but he's not a very vocal captain. When Lallana was here during the lockdown, you could hear him from the old Shoreham Road just about. He was so
He was doing
loud.
the Goldstone rap, actually.
Yeah, so we really have missed that sort of vocal,
Webster's a noise box.
experienced voice on
Webster's a loud
pitch.
fella as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that in mind, now you're saying, AD, that you don't think Milner will be here. I mean, I suspect he could be here, but not necessarily in a playing
Yeah,
capacity.
it depends on if he if it depends if he wants to play or not. I mean,
Well,
obviously at his age, I mean he's had a really, really long, very, very successful career, James Milner. Fortunately for him, he's not really had too much injury issues throughout his career. It's just obviously ages.
he is 96.
Well, yeah, age is catching up with it. If we want someone with a bit of experience, if we can get
Well, this was the
half a dozen
question I was
games out of
about
him,
to.
maybe put him on a pay-as-you-play kind of contract. But if he wants to play, if he wants to carry on playing, he might think, well, I might drop down to the championship or something. But
Well, this is a speculative question I want to throw towards Andy in that case. Given that the two chaps that Jim has just mentioned there, Lallana and Milner, and obviously Pascal Gross as well. Sorry, just one quick thing here. Brighton won 3-2. The men's team won 3-2 in the last minute. The women's team won 3-2 in the last minute. And Pascal Gross, who came over here for the West Ham game, his team won 3-2 in the last minute. Sorry, I'll get back to the question. Andy, given that the amount of experience that has since left the club, and if Milner, big if Milner goes, is there anyone that springs to mind who's in the sort of like the, sort of side two, track six of their career, that you think could actually come here and do a job of helping out the youngsters as a quote old timer?
well, Kevin De Bruyne is the obvious one, I think.
I was going to say Pascal Gross.
I don't know, and I wonder whether we can actually afford to have a very old player on the pitch anymore, given the pace of the game. I think these players provide great backroom support, and Milner's done that, and Ertzler really likes him in the building. I think a lot of our younger players, like you say, that they go through growing pains. Well, this season's been growing pains. They'll be more experienced next year, and they'll be able to push on. Other players will come in. It might be that we buy a slightly more, a sort of middle-aged player, someone like maybe we'll splash out on someone who's like 24 or 25 as opposed to 12 like we normally do. But I mean, Milner's been missed, but I think there's so many midfields in this division that just will just go bypass him because of the
Jim, any
speed of
thoughts on
him.
this as to sort of like,
Well,
even just
I think
acquiring a 32-year-old to.
I just think that, if the Albion are ahead with the last 10 minutes of the game still to go,
Closer.
at times we've looked vulnerable. There have been some times where we just haven't looked very comfortable, even though we've led 2-0 and it's been 3 minutes to go, which is absurd, really.
Yes.
So I think it's in that context that I think a player like James Milner can come on, steady that ship, and just provide a bit of leadership, a bit of know-how. And I think sometimes we've missed that.
Yeah,
The
I agree.
question, sorry, the question I was asking here is I'll ask it of you as well, is that if, as AD might suggest, that Milner has played his last game, Is there anyone out there who springs to mind that could do the, for want of a better term, Milner role, who's, not quite so old?
Alexis McAllister.
Yeah,
Can
he's
we
still a
get
sprog.
him? Can we get him back? There's, I mean, Tony's Black Book will have earmarked like loads. Is Kitishev still about?
Yeah. He
But
was old when
that's
he came to us 15 years ago.
I know he was. But I mean the other worrying thing, well, not worrying, but we've also got several players going into the last year of their contract. And we were talking about the experience on the pitch and having that know-how. There's a lot of that in these players. We've got Simon Adingra, who I suspect may be looking for passes new come the summer. But then we've also got Adam Webster, Lewis Dunk, Solly March, Danny Welbeck, and Jason Steele, all with 1 year left. And also Veltman will go into that category as well.
I think with those sort of players, you could probably offer another year. March, I think we might want to give another couple of years. But players like Duncan Webster, I don't think you have to offer very long contracts. You'd be looking at 1, maybe 2 years added. And I would want to keep those players around. I think in the world of Premier League money, I think they would be relatively cheap buys whilst we look to recruit their replacements, quite
Yeah,
frankly.
I mean they're all players that European qualification isn't the be all and end all, I would say.
Oh, I don't know. I think did Webster get a chance to play in Europe?
Yeah.
Did he play? Okay,
Yeah.
but let's face it, we've all had it. Players, staff, fans alike, we've all had a taste of Europe, and let's face it, we all want a bit more, don't we? So, yeah,
Absolutely.
I mean they're going to be gutted if big if that again they don't make it. But I think that everyone realizes that next year, given that there could be eight teams playing in Europe, and if we're not, then we've got at least a better, in theory, health and fitness chance of actually doing quite well in the league. I think next year, I'm confident of us actually doing pretty damn well next year.
Well, all those players, Jim, will have had a chance to settle another year, getting into the Albion way of life, I when everyone's fit, plus everyone that we've got probably possibly coming in the summer, I have got no idea what the first choice side's going to be. I've got an idea, but I.
No, I mean I think on those senior players that we've just been mentioning, I think it is really important that we keep most of them. You know, that they're offered another year because we've just been saying it's such a young squad otherwise. You've got to have some experience. I think the Premier League is getting harder. You know, Bournemouth are now a very good side, Fulham are a good side, Brentford are there, aren't they, in mid-table. Leeds may well spend some money. I find it difficult to think that Manchester United and Tottenham can be worse than they have been this season.
Yeah, but you'd like it, wouldn't
Oh, I'd love it,
you?
especially Man United.
I can see both those teams not being very good next year.
I hope you're right, Andy.
They're really bad at the moment, and it would
Not
take a
getting
lot to
better.
change. It would
Yeah,
take a
I
lot.
think. I think United will get better, but I mean they're going to have. Well, we're not here to talk about them, are we? No, and absolutely not. In fact, we're not here to talk about anything because that's all we've got time for this week. So, thank you so much to Jim Frank. Thank you to Andy Bass. Thank you to Alan Wares. I've been AD Packham, and this has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course on a podcast and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you all again next week. Cheers. See you then. Bye.
And now they're trying to take my life away. Forever young, I cannot. Promises,
promises are promises.
They're after you guns forever. Oh, that's our battle cry. It is the flag that we fly high. So